Medication non-adherence is a common problem after transplant. And we all know that the success of transplant in the setting of not having tolerance protocols relies heavily on our patients taking their medications appropriately. The reported incidence of non-adherence in the literature varies tremendously, depending on the type of intervention or category used to classify non-adherence, as well as the type of organ. Depending on what you read, non-adherence can be reported anywhere from 20 to 55% of patients. The type of organ often is related to the level of non-adherence, and this is seen dramatically in different incidents, reported incidents of non-adherence across the various organ types. In one recent meta-analysis, the overall general reported incidence of non-adherence was 22.6 cases per 100 persons per year. And this varied again across the organ types, with renal transplant patients being the most non-adherent, second to heart transplant patients, and finally compared to liver transplant patients. We all know that non-adherence can have significant impact on allograft outcomes, and studies have shown significant impacts of non-adherence on leading to increased risk of graft loss, increased risk of graft failure. There's also reports of increased risk of late acute rejection, as well as increased prevalence of donor-specific antibodies and post-donor-specific antibody late rejection. The big question is, how much adherence is necessary? And I don't think we really truly have an answer. There is one study that talks about the 97% rule. This is in a heart transplant population where the thought was that patients must not miss more than one dose of their medications per month. So we don't really truly know the level of adherence that is necessary for all transplant patients. It's important to assess adherence at every visit with patients. There are various methods in which you could assess adherence, direct versus indirect measures. Indirect measures might be a little bit easier to incorporate into your daily practice, but may not actually correlate well with what the patient is actually taking. We can easily ask our patients whether they're taking their medications appropriately or not, but will they be honest with us? Hard to know. We can look at pill counts, again, refill histories, but these indicate that patients are refilling their medications. It's not proof of the patient actually taking the medication or taking the medication appropriately. More direct measures, such as direct observation, which is not necessarily always practical, or drug levels or ingestible sensors, which technically haven't really been fully borne out yet. These measures might really tell us a little bit more about adherence and have actually been shown in adherence intervention studies to be the types of measures that might have a specific impact on outcome. So looking at tacrolimus levels, interpatient variability, things like that might help us better understand how our patients are taking their medications. When we think about risk factors for non-adherence, I want to point your attention to the World Health Organization Five Dimensions of Non-Adherence. And this circle has been well published, identifying the various risk factors for non-adherence in the transplant population. Patients post-transplant can have multiple different factors that influence their adherence to medications. And the way I've set this up are these areas here are those that we could focus our attention on modification, whereas these areas here may not necessarily be areas where we can directly impact post-transplant. However, these are areas such as social economic factors, patient-related factors, that we might be able to focus our adherence interventions on prior to transplant to ensure that patients understand their medications better and understand the importance of taking these medications. So just focusing on social and economic factors, younger patients, they might be a little bit more distracted and busy and more difficult to take their medications. So added interventions that might be more suitable for them with modern technology may be helpful there. Specific patient-related factors. So patients who've had a history of non-adherence, and many studies have shown to have issues with non-adherence post-transplant. So I'm trying to identify those patients prior to transplant with surveys or even just preliminary screening of refill history to get a general idea of whether they may or may not be adherent. Cognitive impairment, negative beliefs in medication, substance abuse, and lack of routine. So trying to work with patients prior to transplant to establish routine so that they understand the importance of taking medications at specific times and that they understand the importance of these medications on their long-term graft outcome. Now, post-transplant, these are all issues that we might be able to focus on to help improve adherence based on changes in medication therapy. So medication and related factors, including complexities of the medication regimen, side effects, lack of education, and lack of organization, these are all areas where we may be able to intervene by adjusting the complexity of the regimen, trying to make medication regimens twice a day rather than four times a day, minimizing numbers of supplements and vitamins, addressing side effects at each visit, talking to patients, understanding how they're tolerating their medications, and offering alternatives that might make them more likely to take their medications. Lack of education and lack of organization as well. Providing patients the appropriate education so that they understand why they're taking these medications, so that they understand what the side effects are, so they can better communicate with us and know that we're willing to work with them to address their medications. And lack of organization. So working with patients to have a systematic way of filling a pill box or organizing their medications, as well as setting up routines. And then finally, health system and medical care related. These are issues that we have to identify up front with regards to financial barriers to medication access. So if patients can't access their medications due to high copays or lack of insurance, we can't expect them to actually take them. So what kind of interventions can we use to identify or improve these identified risk factors for non-adherence? I've listed a few here. There's a number of great recent systematic reviews, meta-analyses of various adherence interventions. And the problem with a lot of the non-adherence literature is the fact that they do target, it's hard to target the non-adherent patient and put them in a study. So many of the interventions may not show significant impact on outcomes. One of the most recent meta-analyses only showed that 3 of 41 studies actually improved patient outcomes. So it's important to be able to individualize your intervention to what the patient's true needs are. So just to talk about some of the interventions, I can't say that one of these interventions is the best intervention. Again, you have to work with each patient and identify what their barriers are. So educational interventions have been shown in some studies to make some improvements in not necessarily overall outcomes, but adherence measures of variability in drug levels, etc. And these can be presented in a So there are various tools and interventions that can be used post-transplant to address the factors that influence non-adherence. Educational interventions such as videos and print material can be helpful for patients to be better informed about the side effects of their medications, the role of their medications, and serve as a resource for patients when they can't access their transplant providers. Behavioral interventions such as contracts or reminder systems can help patients stay on top of their medications by having cues to better know when to take their medications. Organizational interventions such as using pill boxes or blister packs for patients who are much more stable might have a benefit in serving as a double check system and help them minimize the amount of time during the week that they're having to really work on filling their medication boxes. Cognitive and behavioral therapy, working through motivational interviewing may help identify some barriers. And then depending on the patient and their level of technology familiarity, use of applications as well as mobile health might particularly benefit various patient populations. So in summary, with non-adherence, we all know it's a major problem. We really need to think about our patients on an individual basis and identify what their true barriers are. There's no magic bullet. There's no one intervention that's going to fit everybody's needs. We need to identify what the patient's barriers are and then individualize our approach based on their specific needs. Thank you.